To fire alarms and that, if you hit any doorway with an illuminated exit sign above it, that will take you outside the road to a corridor. At the end of each corridor, there is a doorway with another illuminated exit sign. And that will take you to an exit to the building and outside to safety. It should be known also that any person appearing before the board who has a family, financial, or business relationship with any member of the board should make that relationship known under state law and the town code of ethics. Now, our meetings typically have some ministerial parts, the format, those are just issues of documentation and things of that sort. Typically, the process starts with public hearings, then we go to regular business, then we go to concept review. So where we, everyone should have received a copy of minutes for both the March and April meetings, but because of some issues, I'm not sure folks had enough time to read them carefully. So I think we'll adjourn approval of the minutes until our next meeting. And each of you should have received a copy by email. We had some issues with staffing and other kinds of things that kind of slowed the process down. Now, where we had left off in terms of the public hearing area was the board had adjourned the preliminary plan public hearing for Bell Creek subdivision located off Milestrip Road, which is for 23 lots of single family homes. At the time, the board felt that more opportunity for public input should be made available. So we're going to, after a motion is made to do so, reopen that meeting. But before we move to that, the rules that we have for meetings typically are we give the petitioner 10 minutes to describe the project. Then the board has a period to ask questions. There's no time limit on that. Then there's a call for input from the public. And the protocol for that is folks will be asked to speak either for the project or in opposition to the project. The format does not allow for questions. So if you have a question, you have to phrase that as speaking for or against, as one of the two categories. There'll be three calls for, three calls for against, and then we will move on. The board will then close the hearing, look for some information from the developer, and see which way to go in terms of approval with or without conditions or denial. So at this point, because we began and we had a full presentation by the developer in our prior session last month, I think we can ask the developer. There were a number of questions that folks raised, a number of concerns that people had about the project. And was there any opportunity to address those? I know I saw people meeting outside the door. Did that happen or not?
I'm not aware of It was in March. We had a, we opened the public hearing and we adjourned.
Right.
Right, yeah.
Okay, yeah. We do not have specific questions to address. We're prepared to address any questions that this evening.
We'll be hearing from the public, and if there are answers, generally, but typically, it would be important for the project to go further if there was some kind of better understanding of what neighborhood concerns would be and some adjustments necessary to plan to conform with those concerns. So with that,
sure, we can certainly respond to any questions if they
We'll keep that as a separate part.
Today or sure.
So to is there a motion?
I make a motion that we reconvene the public hearing.
Mr. Chairman, we need a motion to accept lead agency. It was this procedural step we had forgotten.
I'm assuming that Mr. Maddox will retract his initial motion. I make a motion that the planning board declares a lead agency for planning board file 34-24.
Second motion.
There is a motion and a second on the floor.
Who seconded it?
Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. All the ayes are heard. This is one of the ministerial things. Just assuring that the process conforms to all the rules. So with that, Mr. Bison,
we reconvene the public hearing.
Thank you, sir. And
second.
There is a second to that motion. With a motion and a second, those in favor, please indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. There being only ayes heard, the public hearing is reconvened. Typically, we begin by asking for input for, and typically, we allow 4 minutes for a person to offer their thoughts, which allows an opportunity for as many people as possible to participate. So with that, who would like to speak for the project? Speak for the project for a second call.
I'd like to speak for the project. You want me to?
Yes. Tell us and write down who you are.
Andrew Romanowski, Alliance Homes, I'm the project sponsor. So this is, do you want me to describe the project too at this point in time?
Just contain the 4 minute.
Okay, so what we're proposing, as you know, are 23 lots on a 47 acre parcel. We're proposing to develop about 21 and a half of those 47 acres, leaving about 26 acres undisturbed at this point in time. So, you know, we have been building homes in Orange Park, as you know, for a couple of decades.
Excuse me, can you speak into it? Because people can't hear you in the back.
Okay. So we've been home builders. Is that better?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Alliance Homes has been building homes for better than 30 years, and much of that time we've been building in Orchard Park. We're near completion on a project that we have on Fernley Road, you know, called Ground and Meadows. We plan to continue that momentum with similar type lots on this particular parcel we've owned it for several years now. And what we're proposing are 100% conforming lots in the R2 zoning area that we're proposing to work in. We're not asking for any variances. We know that there's a strong demand. We build a nice product. People love it. We want to continue that.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak for the project?
Is that was your third call, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Counselor. Is there anyone who would like to speak against?
That's me.
Okay.
Yes.
Tell the recording record and the written record of the answer.
Yeah, hang up there. Mike Capullo, my mother lives next door. It is a trust, so I guess technically it is mine too. First off, I don't think anyone deserves 7 new neighbors that she will end up with. It's literally ridiculous. I spent a couple of weeks driving around, looking around, and I have not found one other development that put 7 new neighbors on an existing piece of property. And she has a very normal, average-looking piece of property for the town of Orchard Park. I did find one, but it was an excessively large, 90-plus acre piece of property that had 7 neighbors on it. That's one of the more selfish reasons that I dislike this project. One of the more public reasons is it's obvious that there is a problem with Miles Strip Road for traffic. I think we all drive on it. I drive on it. The gentleman came out and did the surveying, parked in my mother's driveway, and said, I have to park here because the traffic's so bad. He's not wrong. That was a gentleman from Orchard Park. It's proven because on both ends of this piece of property, or this road, we've had a ton of work done very recently to mitigate the traffic problems. I follow my mother's driveway. It's dangerous. I can't even safely back out. I usually plow after dark so I can see lights. Next on my list, I'm sorry, I'm not a public speaker, I'm a public yeller, so.
Excuse me.
30 years yelling at kids at Orchard Park Middle School, that'll do that for you. No other cul-de-sac neighborhood on Miles Strip looks like this one. They are all set back off of Miles Strip. You have to drive down a little bit of road to get to them, and then the cul-de-sac happens. They're not in your face. This truly ruins the aesthetic of Miles Strip Road that has been there forever. Nice chunks of property with nice houses on them. I don't care how nice his houses are or how he built them. They're big mansions, which are not attractive. It is going to lower the property value of the houses around there. There's no question on that. I know I have to talk quick.
Mr. Bailey is a very quick time.
I know. I'm on. I got it. So, give me 10 seconds more. I do see some ways that it could be made better for, on a selfish note again, for my mom. The retaining ponds could be put on the other side, on the east side instead of the west side. That would give a nice buffer for those houses there. I know that their reason is going to be, well, that's the downhill side. That's where retaining pond is going, the downhill side. But that could make things nicer. I still do worry about construction. I have an elderly mother, and I do worry about my year's worth of construction people wandering around in her backyard. I said this at the other meeting. And the gentleman said there would be a bathroom on site. I've worked at a lot of construction sites. There will be people wandering around in her backyard. It will not be appreciated. And I'm going to go back to the one again. It doesn't match the aesthetic of the street, and it doesn't look like any of the other cul-de-sac neighborhoods that are on that street. Thank you.
I think you're
going to
hear from your mom later.
Yeah. Mother's Day's coming up.
Was that present? Is there anyone additional who would like to speak against the project?
Good
evening. It's still
light
outside, so.
My name is Regina Del Vecchio, and I represent and they have the parcel of land in the back corner of the parcel So their property line borders that. So this board, this planning board, has the ability to condition the erection of a fence along the entire line. And I respectfully request that they do so, because there are, there's a possibility for people to wander into the creek, wander into the wetlands, and wander into the pond that's on our land, which is an attractive nuisance. So we don't want to find people wandering into our land. And, you know, Sakula has a property there, and they don't want to do that either. So I would implore the board to make a requirement that Alliance Homes, I mean, these seem like they're expensive homes. The cost of the fence would be minuscule compared to the cost of someone getting injured or trespassing. So we have the property posted, but people disregard posted signs. People disregard them all the time. You don't, I don't have to tell you how many times we chase people out of their public streets on people. So I don't want this project to impede our ability to have a safe place and not to harass us, so to speak. You know, it's simple. We've lived there for 50 years, and we farmed that land, and I know that development happens, and we're not opposed to the project, but we want a condition. And I know that this board has the ability to implore and implement that condition on the builder. So we respectfully request that that be done. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? For a third and final call, is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition?
Mr. Chairman, hearing no other comments from the public on this issue, I move to close the public hearing.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion and second to close the public hearing. Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Okay. All the ayes were heard. Public hearing is closed. We'll ask the petitioner to come forward.
To this board, right, and people
We would like you to speak with the residents and get feedback.
Are you
going to
provide us with the contact information? That can be done. Okay, Anna is diligently writing down names and what our request is.
Okay.
It looks like it's going to happen pretty quickly.
Maybe the best thing to do is if you're interested in that, maybe we should start a new sign-up sheet because they've just signed up to speak. I don't want to presume. If you're interested in a small group or meeting with the developer, if you'd like to give me contact information, I'll pass it along.
So if you're looking to meet with the developer, the sheet right up in front of me here. Just put your name and some kind of contact information down so that folks can get a hold of you.
Sounds good.
And as the process moves along, we can see things seem to be going to some kind of amicable, type of situation. So, with that,
can I ask a question, Mom?
Sure.
So, to the woman who talked about a fence.
Oh,
yeah,
I'm
okay,
ready.
Okay, can you clarify a little bit more, better for me where you are or where you are?
Sure.
So, are you on the back on the other side of the
map there?
There's an overall.
So here's the creek.
Yeah.
I can't read.
So you're north of the.
No. Here's the creek.
Yeah.
The McClure's property line is here. Pretty much where the creek is. The back side here. The school. Sell that here.
That's almost all adjacent, not to the place that we're building, but to the green space. Pedestrians and traffic. Do you intend to have corner lots fully developed, or would there be a possibility that you might not develop corner lots?
Well, they're all in. All of the only corner lots would be the ones out near the front. They're all internally facing, so nothing faces on Miles River Road.
So none of the houses face on Miles
River Road.
And presumably some landscaping there would be growing over time, and that would create the barrier.
Yes,
is it growing in the Houston forest subdivision?
And of course, the ability to move back in case of a big number of proposed homes.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
You're indicating that you can't move anything back, but that based on a project for 23 lots. Right now, we're in the process of trying to reach a decision on the scope of
that. again, everything that we're proposing was pretty much, there were not asking for any variances, so these are all conforming lots. So yes, to go back and answer your question, we might have landscaping on the Miles Strip side of those lots that we provide for each space buffer.
Just kind of encouraging here that those three Miles Strip facing homes will be in the neighborhood as opposed to having direct street access on Miles Strip Road. That's a concern of mine as well.
Right.
They might people understand that. Tom, this is a question for you. I'm not here to know that. So with that, the way those homes will be oriented, that'll be the Miles Strip facing side of the home will be the side yard.
Yeah, the required side.
So the required side. If these are single family homes where you've got families moving in them, can there be fences erected on that side? Miles Strip facing, I know we discussed that previously, and what would that look like from an aesthetic standpoint, but also a safety standpoint?
Yeah,
I realize that's beyond the scope of.
Remember that the side yard setback is greater on that side, right? So we're facing with a conforming with two front yard setbacks.
Two setbacks, yeah. So you have to drop down once you cross that line. You have to drop down to our new code says 4 foot and it can't be chain link. But you could have a fence, but it has to drop down.
I think more likely we would have green space.
Okay.
Mr. Olmanski, just like you have a better picture in my mind, it's always very difficult to track what you're looking at on paper, what ends up happening. As far as from the side of the house that's on the roadside, if you're looking at the side, how much distance is there between the side of the house and actually the edge of the road? I just want to get an idea in my head.
Your code in R2 requires a 50-foot front setback. So there would be, so that setback, because like we just talked about, because it's got road frontage on two roads, we're talking about three lots that are the first three lots
right.
That we're going to close to the So it'd be 50 feet plus the right of way, which is probably 20 feet there, so approximately 75 feet.
I think it's almost going to be 100 feet to the road edge.
Yes,
that much. Okay. That makes me feel a little better. I mean, you would, of course, be supportive of it if we wanted to have a certain amount of trees planted along that side.
That's something
you would do.
Mr. Chairman, I have another question. I'm just reading from the long PMF form on page 17. Item number J, it says, will the proposed action result in a substantial increase in traffic above present levels or generate substantial demand for transportation facilities? Yes or no? Question? No is checked. So my question is, this is something that's on the record, but do you need to verify with the traffic study this statement about traffic?
We don't, because this project does not meet the threshold that with this new number of lots that meet the threshold that's put by the traffic study would be.
And so one last question for me, how do you determine the thresholds based on, for example, the number of homes and the 2 vehicles per home versus the anticipated number of trips that this number of homes would add to on a percentage basis?
So
just do some math and
yeah, there's a formula that's all based on ASHCO standards. There's 10.1 vehicle trips per day per single family house. So the 23 lots would be 100 to 150.
And how does that factor into the current baseline traffic on Monster? Is that something you know?
Yeah, it doesn't meet the criteria.
Right.
So the 200 is the number, not its proportion in the existing traffic, which is, I think, a concern for the residents nearby. They're saying the roads are full, so you're adding 200, and they raised the question about that impact on baseline rather than the pure number 200. I'm just,
well, again, I think we could probably address that.
You could show
you guys that one, right? That way we can send the supporting documentation.
Mm-hmm. That would interest me.
Sure. Yeah,
Just so folks in the audience have a better understanding, you know, the planning board takes several things into account. Firstly, is a project one that meets town code? And our building inspector looks at that issue. Is the engineering done properly? And for any project that our engineering department, our deputy town engineer would look at. And there's also a third set of criteria under the State Environmental Quality Review Act, and that looks to impact a whole variety of things in terms of schools, traffic, other issues. And Dr. Bennett and Alex Long are the folks who view that portion of the process, and that information is integrated into the board's decision, sort of forms the base of it. Mr. Manage.
I don't have any questions.
I have one for our illustrious attorney there. Mr. Bailey, if we decided, although Mr. Romanowski has stated that they're not required to do a traffic study, if this board decided they wanted to do a traffic study, does this board have the power to request that?
You can request it, you can't demand it. Okay. If they were willing, they volunteered, that would be possible to demand.
Unless there were some secret issue related to that.
No.
So I would say, just in the absence of being able to mandate a traffic study, just a couple of questions for the sake of the public hearing. What is the speed limit at this portion of Miles Strip?
45 degrees? 40.
Okay. So given the 40-mile-per-hour speed limit there, and again, for worthy of consideration, and then the other question is, here at the planning board, we oftentimes see these specs just as they're presented here. We don't know how far down mile strip it is before there's a turn that relates to the right-of-way or something like that. When we pull up to pull off of a street of a new development, how quickly there's a turn or where there might be a blind side coming in from a car. Given the speed, how far would you say in the overall, you know, plan here, would there be any potential for curves or bends in the road that would create the difficulty of seeing for anybody pulling out of the development?
So as far as horizontal, my house is a straight shot.
Pretty much,
right. I have to look at the vertical.
And as I said, for the, this is more so for the hearing in the public, but more or less, Miles Strip's a straight shot, so when they pull up to the stop sign, it's almost a 90-degree angle that they're going to be able to see anything coming at 45 miles per hour in either direction, correct?
So I know we meet the stopping site distance requirements at the intersections, but how far the next hill is it?
Based on elevation, of course.
Right. So we meet the code, but to address your question, I don't know the answer, but I believe.
Something I'd like to bring up for public hearing as well.
Mr. Beck, I'm good. Now, what we're looking at right now is the board is considering whether or not to move ahead with preliminary plan approval, which would mean this would be the first step in allowing the petitioner to bring in more information, more detail, and deal with the questions and issues. This is vital to the board.
Can we make any comment at all during this point?
No.
If I make that point, there will be another public hearing when it comes to plan, right?
Yes.
At that point, you would be able to comment.
Yeah.
I'm going to get over something.
No, I mean up to the stuff that they're saying.
Okay, if there is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I have a motion.
Okay.
So regarding planning board 24, and also different numbering on our motion 37. 2021 Bell Creek, 22 lot subdivision at 6940 Mouser Road. I make a motion to grant preliminary plat plan approval to this proposed 23 lot subdivision, 21.2 plus minus acres, Central Land Zone R2, based on the submitted preliminary plat plan and survey received 1/15/2025 with the following conditions. All public notices have been filed. This is a type 1 seeker action based on the submitted long EAF part 1, and the negative declaration is hereby made on May 8, 2015. Pre-application findings were made on October 14, 2021. Public hearing and subdivision development fees shall be paid prior to final plat plan approval. Regulation fees in accordance with section 144-7B of the town code shall be paid. One street tree per conservation board, three tree plans shall be provided on each lot per section 120-3F of the town code. And town engineering preliminary plat plan approval has been granted on May 6th.
March 28th.
I'm sorry, did you
approve? We approved March 28th.
Okay. I'll change. So March 28th, 2025.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second on the floor. I wanted to move ahead with the motion, but then put a question to our deputy town engineer. Those in favor of preliminary approval, please indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by saying nay. Only ayes are being heard. In terms of drainage, which is a townwide issue that impacts almost everywhere, can you tell folks here a little bit about what provisions were made for that? And in summary.
In summary, the road, the homes, sump pumps, and downspouts are all directed to the road drainage system. All that water is collected, plus the surface runoff of the front yard. And that's all directed to the detention facility, which is accommodated with a bioretention pond and a detention pond, which controls the volume, the water quality, and water reduction requirements, not only from the state and federal, are the water to meet those standards, and which is discharged to the brain.
With all of us seeing these issues of flooding in other parts of the country on weather and news, what kind of standards apply here in Orchard Park?
What we require in Orchard Park, you compare pre-condition condition to post, and you compare from the magic and stone, just like you have a Richter scale, you compare the pre-construction 10-year storm to the post. You have to retain control of the volume of water between the two. Pre-construction is the field and woods condition. Development, you have grass, you have the pavement, you have the roofs, so you have impervious and impervious, versus before you have so that delta is controlled. The way we do our ponds, you prepare 10 to 10, all the way up to 100 to 100, you retain that difference and slowly release that through the design of the outfall structure. Above and beyond the state requirements, we built in freeboard above the stage, like the 100 year elevation. We put in another foot of requirement on the pond. Before that, for the outfall structure, it's all mathematics and everything. You control the outfall structure for the 25 years old. The emergency spill is set either higher by a 20 year storm event or a foot higher than the 25 years old. So, which we document in other volume of water that's controlled is supposed to be 1.5 times required from the state.
So our requirements are higher than the state?
Yes.
And what level storm would they?
Up to 100-year storms, so that comparison, pre-existing and post that delta.
Thank you. Thank you, John. I'm not sure that, I know most people who come, given the nature of Orchard Park, and water issues are very concerned about that. I thought it was important that we hear from our engineering people.
And it meets our standard.
Okay. Thank you. So it appears at this point, you have preliminary approval to go ahead, which means you need to meet the folks, talk things over. Clearly, there's sentiment on the board of some trees and other kinds of things to ensure better privacy, and perhaps look to anything that could be done to mitigate traffic issues. Good luck.
And more importantly, now that you have granted and declared the seeker designation for a project, they move forward to get not only our approval, they go on to Erie County Water, Erie County Sewer, and Erie County Health Department approval. We first approve everything and sign the warrant, but they have to also, there's another level review by the state and the county. And then also, with the pond, there's a requirement of, it's called USA Phase 2 Stormwater Requirement. We sign off on how it can go in to the state for their review when it wasn't. But we've already done that.
Understood. Thank you.
Yeah. Folks, thanks for coming. Do not feel rude if you want to leave now. Go ahead. The other items are your chance.
If anybody wants to meet with the developer, if you want to put your name on.
If we would be a group, I don't know if I want to meet myself.
Well, if it's just you and you want them to call you on the phone, I could have them give you a call. Is there going to be a yeah, there will be a final public hearing.
Folks, excuse us, but we got to continue moving through it.
I have to put a sticky on the file so that all the insurance
is we can file. To agency status and seeker law. This is purely a ministerial kind of thing, which allows us to do the seeker evaluation. And so I would ask.
You're signing to meet with the developer.
Who would make a motion relative to seeking lead agency?
I make a motion, Mr. Chairman, with respect to Planning Board File 0-08 Proposed Forest Creek Subdivision Part 2B, vacant land located off of Norwood Lane Zone 1. I make a motion that the Planning Board seek lead agency status for this 18-lot subdivision.
Motion and multiple seconds. Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Only ayes are heard. We are lead agency. With regard to our next regular business item, the folks who are looking to locate a 4th of July display, I prefer in those words, but basically, you know, I think the state allows Roman candles for whatever kind of fireworks it is. Sparklers. And is there someone here representing the project? And can you come up and tell the recorded record who you are? And we'll kind of move ahead.
My name is Frank Christopher Jersey Jr. I am the area manager for TNT Fireworks for Western New York. We are just requesting, it's not necessarily a display, it is just a temporary business done under a tent in that parking lot for the legal time period in New York, which is June 20th through July 5th. And it is to sell New York City sparkling glasses, which do not include broken candles.
They do not, I will.
Sadly not. Any questions I'm willing to answer on that, if that's...
Are you the same company that's had that location before?
No, we are not. We acquired the lease. Keystone Fireworks used to be there. We acquired that lease this year, so we're going to take that parking lot over now. But it's all, you know, the same thing.
So they're not going to come back with a second request?
Correct. No.
Okay.
Keystone Novelties did have something for a different location planned. That location was not valid, and so they said that they may come back. I mean, it being May, I'm not just, they may come back for a different area in town, just to clarify.
Thank you for wearing the mask.
Yeah.
And I think the chance, but it makes it a little.
Sorry.
Somebody there 24 hours?
Correct, yeah. Sure. They will hire their own security. We also have an industrial container that they put the fireworks in at night and lock it even in the rest of the security.
And what type of fireworks specifically?
So they are New York State sparkling glasses.
That's
so
it, just the sparkling?
That is it, yes.
Okay. No TNT, yes.
TNT, yeah.
I think we need to change that.
Thank you.
Hang on one second. Mr. Chairman, I think all the questions have been answered. And in that case, I'm prepared to make a motion. You might want to hear the motion, right?
Yeah.
Regarding planning board file 5-25, I move to grant an outside display permit to TNT Fireworks to sell fireworks slash sparkler type all in New York State legal. In the Cox Plaza, for the location planning to receive March 24, 2025. The following conditions and stipulations are to apply. Number one, this is a question of secret action. Therefore, we'll seek a determination of the employer. Number two, there will be no additional outside lighting for the display or temporary structure tent. Three, there will be no banners or additional signage
yes.
for this display.
Four,
sales are to take place probably 25 to 24 tents. Five, the hours of operation are 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. daily, beginning June 20th and running through July 5th. And six, if any issues or complaints arise, the building inspector is to submit a report to the planning board detailing those complaints or complaints.
I will second the motion. Motion and second on the floor. Is there any discussion on the question? There being none. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. On the ayes are heard. Good luck.
Thank you.
Hopefully, you will be safe and enjoyable for our holiday.
Thank you.
Our third regular business item, planning board file 6.
the camper that is located on our commercial property. We are just preface it by saying that we do use this camper as an extension of very necessary office space due to the limited space that we have in the restaurant itself. We utilize the camper solely for additional space to store product inventory. You may or may not be aware that the SLA requires us to retain 3 years of records and invoices, so we store all of that additional paperwork there. I carry out my managerial duties in there, lock up employee records, and the camper is in no way aesthetically unpleasing. We do not believe that we are in any violation of town code. It stays 15 feet away from the main structure. It's climate controlled, it's connected to power at all times. We winterize it, And our landlord, which is Michelle Lillicore, does know that the camper is on the property, and she is prepared to give permission if that's what's needed, and we are committed to staying in compliance with the town code and local ordinances.
Mr. Mike, what does the code say about
trailers? If it's a trailer, say for construction, this one is some more protection for that building. You're allowed to have one for a year. We don't have any of the code for one associated, say, with a restaurant or a facility. We don't have any provision for a trailer.
Is there any reason why you can't get space elsewhere to do this?
We've had it since the opening of our business, which was in 2020. And the restaurant itself, inside, we have a small office, but we truly do utilize all of the space in the restaurant. There's one small closet that stores our soda, and we have a small office, which we have some things in there, but it is very small. The building is small. So it is a very essential functional area for us.
You can't add on additional.
Can we add on additional?
I mean, that would take some, architectural, that I don't know what that would.
Would a storage shed meet your needs and would that be called compliant?
Well, a storage shed usually is probably not climate controlled. I do a lot of my office work in there. My computers are in there. Extra money in there, like I said, employee records. I mean, it's my space to be able to carry out a lot of my duties because the office is just so small.
If you guys are parking, there's plenty of parking.
Yeah, they have a lot of parking. It looks like they have less than they do. If you go there, we'll go around the perimeter. Actually, a lot of parking.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I wanted to.
Yeah, it's more than they're required.
There's been flea markets there in the past summers, haven't there?
We
not quite.
We hosted events at our vendor events. That's usually a fundraiser that we host every year, and it is a vendor event. So something of that nature.
I think one of the issues, that we have here is that, we allow trailers to be used beyond a temporary period as an accessory building. We have set a precedent for many, many other businesses would opt to do that. And that could create a very, very chaotic kind of situation.
I mean, we could definitely consider looking at an addition. I don't really know what that would entail as far as cost, architects, things of that nature. We utilize as much space, all of the space that we have in our restaurant, and we don't intend to continue to add more RVs for more space. We only have just the one. And like I said, it's not aesthetically unpleasing. It's not ugly. It doesn't look like junk or anything.
And she also may not be able to speak for the landlord's willingness to build the addition. They don't own the
building. Correct. We don't own the building, too, right? So it is a building that we lease.
Is that something that you could look at?
I absolutely will.
six as they promised.
Yeah.
Or later, I think you'll find it. I think, you know, we're lucky to move ahead with legitimizing the trailer for an extended period.
I think you're facing the same thing every single business faces that expands.
Right.
They don't have room, they have accommodations.
Yeah.
And it's not to say there are trailers in Orchard Park, many, there are some that were grandfathered in years ago.
Sure.
Because they were there. But if we open up arms and say, well, they you presented a good reason why you can have that type of a trailer park there, that makes it very difficult for us. The next person that comes in and says, well, my brother-in-law's trailer, instead of parking it at his house, we want to park it next to their business and use it as a business. It makes it very difficult for us.
And if it's along those lines, operationally, practically, it makes a sense to head your office on the same parcel right next door, outside the doors of the restaurant or restaurant bar. But from a security standpoint, just a couple of things that you mentioned, personnel files, cash, whatever else may be in there, as a business owner or manager, site manager, that would be something that I think would be concerning. You know, I don't know how secure a travel trailer.
Yeah, I mean, it has the same outside of the fact that it could be, is mobile and it does have the same security inside the bar. We have cameras all the way around. We have a lot of time. I mean, outside of the fact that you can't pick it up and, like, move it, it's
this is, you know, a concern. Yeah. And then, so you mentioned also storage you're using for storage. Is that paper goods? Is that what sort of?
So, like, the State Liquor Authority does require you to have 3 years in invoices. You have to save all of that. It's a lot. And it's a very high volume business. So, all of that paper, it just helps to have the extra space. I'm just thinking of, like, we have the patio, we have 3 patios. The side is where the camper is, and then back of the building is we have a cooler, which is where all of our gear, and that's very necessary. And then the other side of that, which is a shipping container, also holds plastic, cups, plates, all of that stuff. So a lot of our inventory goes into that.
So what in the trailer is primarily paper?
It's paperwork and our computers. Like, I handle all of my stuff out there. I personally just like to do that. It gives me privacy.
Yeah.
I'm dealing with money and cash. I don't want to do it in the bar personally. That's just not my personal preference. But it does act as that extra space for me that I find necessary, which is why I had it in the first place. Because then we had doors for people open. I never known it to be a problem. I can understand, though, that if there's everybody starting to add, extra space. Like I said, it is
the
space that we have
to
build
in
and
to
add to it.
When is your lease up?
So 5 years till 20, so we'll resign. Hopefully, we'll resign this year.
So I'm just putting myself in your position.
Sure.
Do you expect the resigning to be one that is simply just a repetition of the lease? Or perhaps could your good occupancy be associated with some requests that the landlord might need on the day.
Yeah, we do expect to resign. We have the same.
Will they add an additional request?
We will have to find out. Yeah, I was trying to think of where it would go, but you may have my outside. So we're certainly willing to speak with Bill.
I think Kendra's on board. But we want to support your business, we want to support success, we have a real problem with the trailer.
Right.
And we'll see where we are, but I might want to table this while you discuss this with your landlord.
I appreciate that.
Mr. Chairman, again, there's a problem with tabling, and then if you don't act within 60 days, automatically. This is not going to be adjourned.
I recommend you're right.
This is being done by the town board.
Yeah.
So what we're obligated is we're not making a decision on that. We're either recommending or not recommending.
Right. Recommendation.
now is you would do a thumbs up or a thumbs down, then pass it on to the town board.
I agree.
In that case, is there a recommendation?
Okay, I'll make the motion, I apologize, but regarding plan board file 06-2025, I make a motion to recommend that the town board deny the request by Mr. Bell to be allowed to park his camper beside the prohibition 20-foot building to use as an office for his business.
Second.
Those in favor of the motion on the table, please say aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, I don't know how many records you have, but you could either have them digitized.
Yeah.
Or for that matter, the, you know, you mentioned about climate control, several of the new storage facilities have climate control facilities now for storage. If you're not going to digitize, you can always store it there and make some room for yourself.
Yeah. Thank you. Enjoy your meal.
Our last item is a concept, and this is Genesis Development, concept, essentially a discussion we'd like to keep in brief.
Sure.
And this is
Diane.
Principal at Genesis Development and Construction, two other partners. We recently constructed the Ross I building as sort of business park 2 doors down from Excelsior. We're here to talk about Excelsior business at 260 Rentel. They've been there for several years. My business partner, John Yershuk, actually built that building originally when it was the GI practice before Excelsior acquired it. And we are looking to add on about 7,400 square feet on the back of the building. There's currently a parking lot in the back. We would build on that parking lot. We would then construct a parking lot adjacent to it. I'll let Carmine would talk about that if you guys have questions specifically on the site work of it. But that's the intent, is to add more exam rooms, add more, you know, another x-ray, just to be able to provide additional services for their growing customer base.
I think it's interesting you're looking to build a 7,348 square foot addition to the building with only three additional parking places.
There's a parking lot there now. Essentially, that parking lot shifts over. Okay. We've studied the parking internally. We still need code, but we're actually above parking code. Mm-hmm. I'll let these guys chime in on that, but nobody wants to open a business that doesn't have enough parking. So we actually sat myself in a parking lot, counting spaces during the day, how many are still open, and we did that for a period of time because our client doesn't want to have a building that's not parked. So we're comfortable that they're going to be able to meet their customers' needs with what we've got designed. Great question.
And it needs town code.
I mean, it's still, it's a great question because we don't want people overflowing outside of that parking lot or not being able to park, right? We've already gone through that process.
Thank you.
You may not be related to this, but the anticipated tenant, is it the existing occupant or
yes.
Is he a new facility you provider coming in?
Nope. Excelsior or Phoenix, they have a real estate arm that owns the building. They will continue to own the building. We're the developer and general contractor helping them through the whole process.
My one concern is to be sure that every part and every portion of it conveys the character of the name of the town, which is the park, which implies trees, vegetation, things of that sort. And I think we would hope to see more volume than we have existing here.
the landscaping itself, which we'll talk about. The building will look the same. It will actually, the brick is still manufactured, which is great. So we're going to be able to extend it, and it'll look like it was always one larger building. I know that doesn't answer the question on trees and landscaping.
But, yeah, I mean, right.
You don't want to have some odd thing, you know, sticking out there. It is also on the west side, the back side. So it is a 219 view. It is not off the front. It is completely in the back.
We're worried about the 219 view also.
Well, I understand. Yeah, no, understood. But from the, to answer the question on the Sterling Business Park itself, I don't think anyone's even going to notice that the addition happened once it's complete. And it won't really get like close to the 219. If you want to talk about the plantings, go ahead.
Where the building is being proposed, what's that right now?
It's an existing medical office building that's used by, owned and used by Excelsior Orthopedics. So it's simply an expansion of their practice.
Are you asking where the new building?
The new portion is. What's there right now?
It's asphalt. Impervious. Right.
Does this building meet the green space as far as the amount of green space?
It does.
How did? I mean, it almost looks like the old Peru with old 10-pound sausage in a 5-pound bag. If you look at this building,
it's a very large parking lot. Three inside, you have more seats than back from the road, and in that back corner you have a big bio pump, which is all green.
It does meet the town plan and open space requirements.
Industrial is only 20% green coverage.
I'm going to ask that question. Do you have any opinions on using some of the parking space that you observed from your time there watching traffic with the addition of islands for green space within the parking?
There's already a significant amount of islands, and as you can see in the new parking lot, which is shaded gray in the upper left corner, there's 1, 2, 3, 4 what I would call islands right on the corners. And these, you know, Kermit Wood has designed trees to be sporadically put in. So we're not removing any islands. Actually, the parking lot that was there, I think, actually had zero islands. So I would argue that the parking lot after has more landscaping than the parking lot east, if that makes any sense.
Percentage?
Yes.
So you don't plan to add any islands as a way of...
No, there really wouldn't be, well, there are. I can't technically, right? These four corners of this parking lot, there are actually five, are planting areas, which will have landscaping.
And I think to this point with counting cars, that was in looking at, can we add this additional building and still provide enough parking to meet town code and to meet the requirements of the code. So we're adding enough parking that's going to meet the start out and the addition. So if we were to remove parking spaces for green space, you know, I agree with you that we would potentially remove a parking space for our client.
To possibly slip it in as a betterment on landscaping, which then sort of meets our requests and possibly adds something to the, you know, the overall appearance of the
reason. Oh, I agree. And we are, you know, in the new parking area that we're adding, we have islands and landscaping. We will be providing additional landscaping, you know, in the area to be.
I'm not sure about it. Landscaping notion. The 219 portion of 219 is a state designated city byway. And then that creates special seeker attention that anything which is within 200 feet of the right of way of city byway or invisible from or the scenic byway, and so I think some special attention needs to be done here.
Well, I would argue that this lot would look like all the other parcels in this development.
Yeah.
But it sure would be nice.
I agree.
I will just point out one, and I would encourage my other board members to take a trip around this place and make sure that all the other trees that were planted here are being properly maintained and growing properly. And and all the shrubs are maintained, because if I go there and almost 90% of them are dead, or there's nothing there anymore, I don't support the driveway, period.
I think your point is that I think it's part of the broader point of this being more in character of the community. But scenic byway requires special consideration under seeker, and I think it would be a good plan to look to something that would preserve
I'd like to offer a little bit of encouragement for this project. We obviously, if you listen to us in the prior sessions, tonight might seem a little different, but we are encouraging the business within Orchard Park. And it's good to see that we have a good business, like your Peter Group inside, you know, this industrial site that wants to expand and bring more jobs and more opportunity to Orchard Park. But I think the point, and I can speak out of turn, but I think I'm speaking for a lot of folks up here, is we would like to see some beautification of the project. We are Orchard Park, we're not industrial site park. But the project as a whole, to me, seems to be a good project. For a successful business within the town, and if we can make some additional efforts toward the beautification of the site, planting trees, appropriate stuff that's going to be cared for, it would probably win a whole lot more support from the rest of the board.
We can plan around miles of plowway.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, simply adding trees on the southwest corner. Oh, yeah. Okay, that's fine.
I think Mr. Hepner summarizes the broader picture.
Sure. Yeah, no.
We want to be very business friendly, or we want to be very
friendly. Yeah, I understood. And we can definitely sit with these folks and, you know, our client, I mean, he wants a little next to it, right?
Yeah. Well, believe it or not, we hear from residents that say it's not Sterling Park, it's Sterling Park. You know, that's why we feel that we probably missed the boat a little bit with some of the previous development as far as forcing green space to be used a little bit better and forcing developers to be more
conscious
about what they were planning, how they were planning, and especially maintaining it.
Yeah,
I mean, we've got some good properties in the back that have a lot of green space, but that stuff in the middle, it really looks pretty sterile in there.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, all things considered, I mean, I don't know, I was just telling you guys you didn't do a good job there. I grew up like 300 yards from throw flies on the other side of Lake Avenue, so I ride my bikes through there as a kid before it was any park. But
and the notion of concept review is to have an exchange like
this. Yeah, 100%.
And we'll hold nothing against Starpoint either.
now I'm way up there, my legs are on that, you know, how that goes.
Tom?
Can't have plant trees in that short southwest corner, that segment. There's a 36-inch storm trunk line that takes the water for the rest of the development. So that one segment, when you see the site plan, there will be no trees. No, not that big.
Yeah,
that's short, like right there. You can't plant anything there.
It goes. And
that's why in previous, for the original site plan and the last of the development, engineering, we have been planting the additional close to 50 pine trees in between the two.
I think that may be details that we can work
on. Well, the good news is they did the design on that too, so we will avoid that. We'll make sure to clearly show that, because we don't want to hit that Bruce and Pete on that. Yeah, that's a great point. But I think it goes out this way, right? Because the big pond pine off. Yeah.
And there's how important you start throwing back trees over there.
Yeah.
In with the preliminary plan.
Yeah.
Which we're encouraging you to do.
Yep.
And take that to engineering and building inspector, and give them some information for us. But I think, you know, we're basically supporting the idea, and you know, we'll work on the details. It sounds like we'll be able to reach a very pleasing mutual understanding here, and with someone who should be at home. Chicken soup. I think we're gonna
I told the TMT guy I sat by a 3 hour Tim Hortons view with Chief Lauer before, so that was nothing. Your first agenda. Talking about car stacking and drivers. Thanks, everybody. We look forward to doing this project with you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Yeah.
Oh, move to adjourn. He's going to be here all
day. Oh, yes. We got to do that, don't we? Okay.
Yeah. Make a motion to adjourn.
I did. I already made a motion. You can second it.
Loud and proud, second.
Aye.
Close.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Christopher, you wouldn't mind collecting the names?
Yep.
That'd be great.
Thank you. Thank you.
I now think I showed you pictures of my puppy.
Wait, let me turn this off. You got a Newfie here?
Yeah, Newfie.
And don't tell me. I know this dog. I love this Bernese Mountain Dog.
Mm-hmm.
They're beautiful. They're absolutely gorgeous.
He's
I love
a full dogs. Service dog certified classification therapy. 26 weeks of training. So, he needs.